Hi, I'm Carl Azus. Got some quick-hitting headlines to start today's show, so let's get to it. First, the U.S. government has made a COVID vaccine available for children ages 5 to 11. This is for a shot from the companies Pfizer and BioNTech. It has been authorized for emergency use, which means it can now be given to kids during the ongoing pandemic. But it's not the same as full government approval, which requires more research and testing. The vaccine comes in two shots, given at least 21 days apart. After that, a child is considered fully vaccinated. The dose for younger children is one-third of that given to people ages 12 and older. Pfizer hopes the smaller dose will reduce any potential side effects. The company says its vaccine's more than 90% effective in preventing kids from getting sick from COVID-19. And U.S. President Joe Biden called the vaccine safe and said it's a major step forward in the country's fight to defeat coronavirus. But while the Food and Drug Administration voted 17-0 to authorize the vaccine, one of the doctors on the panel said it was a tough decision, acknowledging that serious side effects are possible and saying officials would never know for sure how safe the vaccine would be unless they started giving it. Safety and a lack of information about potential long-term effects are reasons why some Americans are hesitant to get a COVID vaccine. Health officials say the disease's overall survival rate is higher in children than in adults. Next, Tuesday's edition of our show explored the significance of two U.S. gubernatorial elections. In Virginia, CNN projects that businessman Glenn Youngkin, a Republican, has defeated former Governor Terry McAuliffe, a Democrat. In New Jersey, the race was still too close to call when we produced this show. A razor-thin number of votes separated incumbent Governor Phil Murphy, a Democrat, from Republican and businessman Jack Cittarelli, a Republican. These two particular elections are seen as indicators of how Americans might vote in next year's midterm congressional elections. Finally, we've been discussing inflation this year, the rising prices of the things we buy. One place people have noticed this is in their grocery bills. And the New York Times says Americans should plan for the most expensive Thanksgiving meal in the history of the holiday.
Inflation is your uninvited guest for the holidays this year. Egg economists are saying, grocery stores are saying, they expect a run on turkeys, a run on birds, because people gather again this year. Take a look at this. We're expecting the price to top a record high of $1.36 per pound this holiday season. That's nearly $22 for a 16-pound turkey. Your sides, that's a problem, too. All of those prices are rising for potatoes, for biscuits, for vegetables and apples. All of these are up since last Thanksgiving. Potato prices up 3.5%, biscuits up 4%. That's just since last year. Mixed vegetables up almost 4%. Those apples to make your signature pie up nearly 8%. And driving over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house is more expensive this year because of the surge in gas prices. The national average for a gallon of gas, $3.40 right now. Look at the difference from last year. It's up some 38%. So why? We've been talking about this, right? The global supply chain is still a tangled mess. More people are expected to gather this year. That means more demand. There are labor shortages, high transportation costs, bad weather affecting herding crops around the country. The early bird in this case gets the turkey. Ag economists warn the risk is everyone at the same time will be trying to buy their ingredients. Be flexible, shop now. If you wait, you might not get the size bird you want. Heritage birds may not be available near you, or they might not be in your budget. So that means get shopping. The National Grocers Association says there is plenty of food in the supply chain, but consumers should secure those must-haves in a timely fashion to have the favorites on the holiday table.
10-second trivia. Which of these countries has the highest population density? India, Israel, Singapore, or Bahrain? In terms of density, the answer is Singapore, though India has the largest overall population on this list. Behind China, India has the second largest population on Earth, with more than 1.3 billion people, and many of them are breathing unhealthy air. In fact, of the 30 most polluted urban areas on the planet, 22 of them are in India. There's been a bit of a break this year. The seasonal monsoon rains lasted longer than usual, and India has been swept by more wind than usual. That's given the 31 million people who live in the capital of New Delhi their cleanest air in years, according to the Reuters news agency. But that's expected to change this month. India's air quality typically gets worse in the fall after the winds die down, colder air moves in, and farmers get rid of their leftover crop stubble by burning it. Add that to other types of waste burning, traffic pollution, road and construction dust, and you have a problem that various efforts haven't been able to solve in the past. Still, new ideas on how to improve India's air are always being developed.
These sprawling farmlands near India's national capital, New Delhi, will soon be spewing thick plumes of smoke. Year after year, the toxic haze in parts of northern India is so dense, it can be seen from outer space. Agricultural residues, in this case rice straws, is burned by thousands of farmers to clear the fields for winter crops. Many farmers opt to burn this stubble, which often leads to high levels of pollution in the region. 30-year-old Indian Vidyut Mohan is hoping to bring back cleaner air through sustainable energy to Delhi and its neighborhood. Along with his co-founder, Vidyut developed a small-scale portable machine in the year 2018 that converts agricultural waste into biofuel.
We feed in agricultural waste, such as coconut shells or rice straws or rice husks, into the machine. It undergoes a thermal process just like the process of roasting coffee. It's called torrefaction. And what that does is it takes out low energy containing molecules in the form of gases and leaves behind a dense carbon rich material, which is then conveyed, cooled and packaged to be used to make valuable products such as fuels and fertilizers.
The process of removing moisture from a biomass to create biocoal is not new. Some observers say the high costs of creating scalable solutions have so far prevented the widespread adoption of torrefaction. But Vidyut is confident his device will be more affordable. A pilot run of the machine's latest version is also being tested in a forest area on the Pacific West Coast. The team, along with state forest officials, is currently looking into converting wood-based residues into marketable products.
As compared to open burning of agricultural waste, our equipment prevents up to 98% of smoke emissions.
Rural farmer Kuldeep Huda says burning of crop residue is making their lands barren, but remains the cheapest option. Mohan's sustainable technology could be a game changer for the farmer community and provide additional revenue.
This will help us the most. They have told us to give them the crop stubble and they will give us carbonized fertilizer, which will reduce our costs as farmers and help our crops. There will be lots of benefits.
The young Indian's efforts have already been recognized by the United Nations Environment Programme. He was also recently awarded Prince William's inaugural Earthshot Prize. Mohan's low-cost innovation should hit the Indian market within a year. He believes 100 million tons of carbon dioxide can be reduced annually, a hopeful solution that could break India's toxic smoke chain. Vedika Sood, CNN, New Delhi.
Don't know if this actually happened during Taco Tuesday on the ISS, but we do know that astronauts recently enjoyed a taco dinner after harvesting a mini crop of chili peppers grown in the orbiting laboratory. It took a while, 4 months to grow the peppers in space, and while they were enjoyed by astronauts who can lose some of their ability to taste and smell in zero gravity, they'll be studied for their viability on long-term space missions. Now let's taco moment to cook up a few corny puns. They're always flowering here, they help season our show. And one without puns, like a space station without peppers, just IS isn't as flavorful. Have you ever saw such a thing as space tacos? We hear they're out of this world. I'm Carl Azuz, and there's the beef on CNN 10. Nevada High School, yes, that's pronounced Nevada. Thank you for watching from Nevada, Missouri. We hope you and everyone else enjoyed the show, and we look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow. We'll be right back.